and cover the Hilula. This the other day of the Baba Sali, Zecher Sali v'Kadosh Levracha. I'll be going through some of the stories, and of course I knew a little bit at least about the greatness of the Baba Sali, but the stories which you read about the Baba Sali gives you the impression you're talking about a tzaddik who had such practices of hundreds of years ago. And he was very hidden, and he revealed mamash a tafach of his avodah, of his greatness, his mesiras nefesh. Like always, a few stories, there's a lot to be learned. But with tremendous humility, we know that we're only touching the iceberg. And I say that as a pun, because Baba Sali used to be tovel every day without fail in the mikvah. And he dug a ditch in his home or nearby his home. And we're not talking about, you know, Kedushas Levi mikvah downstairs. We're talking about a bor. A bor which in the winters in Morocco would freeze over. And he wouldn't miss a single tefillah. There were 91 steps just to get to the mikvah. 91, a very important number in Kabbalah. Yichud Havaya and Adnas, and he was Machavin Yichud in every step he took. And many times, people who would accompany him halfway down, it would become very, very cold. Just to walk the stairs would be freezing cold. And the attendant who was holding the lantern would go back up, and the Baba Sali would, by Baal Peh, he would count the steps, knowing when he couldn't even see. He would come to the water, and he would just go in. He'd have to break the ice many times and go in, spend who knows how long there. But without failing, they're under tremendous Mesiras Nefesh, whether there was a war going on, and unbelievable Mesiras Nefesh for Mikvah. But Bechalal, this was one of the Shprachim by him, he would say, is that he never surrendered to anything. He would say, I conquered this and I conquered this. He looked at everything as a challenge of Mesiras Nefesh for the Ribbono Shel Olam. One of the great Kabbalists of the Sephardic tradition was Mordechai Sharabi, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha. And he revealed to the Baba Sali in private conversation that he had a dream. And the Abir Yaakov, I should say properly, appeared to him. And he asked him, from where did you take the neshama of your grandson, the Baba Sali? So he asked him. So he said, the soul of my grandson was carved from the soul of King Chizkiyahu. And anybody who receives his bracha is as if he's being blessed by King Chizkiyahu himself. And he ruled with a certain malchus in Morocco, who his mom was treated like a king. He lived in a palace. He had the jurisdiction to be able to punish and based in. And he was a ruler. He was mamash a ruler. But he didn't care about the comforts. In fact, when he was 100 years old, somebody came to him and told him that they had finished building a palace for him. He was 98 years old. I don't know if I could find it. I have so many marks here. This was his response. Do I need a palace? I am nearly 100 years old. Our sages describe a man at this age as if he were dead, passed away and deceased from the world. Is there any difference whether I live in a small and simple home like this or in a mansion? The place where a person needs a mansion is not in this world, but in the world to come. It is there he works to build a mansion for himself. You can all testify that I spend entire days on the couch. It is here that I pray, I learn, and I receive people coming to see me, and it is here that I eat my meals. Does it matter in the least whether the couch is in this house or another one, whether on this floor, in the attic, in the middle of a staircase, even in the street? You have not built a mansion for me. Take it for yourself. That's what he said. We know that the hallmark of the Abuchatzera dynasty legacy was the Kedusha Seinayim, Shemira Seinayim. In addition to guiding him on the path of Torah, his father, Rav Masud, instructed him in the holy manner which he should lead his life. From the age of 6, in an effort to protect the holiness of his eyes, his face was covered with a cloak whenever he went into the street, and this custom remained with him his entire life. One of the very well-known stories, although many don't know the details, is the story of the Baba Sali and the Ari's Shul, the Beis Knesses of the Ari. He came to Eretz Yisrael, I think, three times. Once when he was young and he was called back to lead the Kehillah, and then he came 10 years later and he was called yet again back to lead the Kehillah Morocco, and then he came the third time and he stayed. I think it was three, not two, but I don't remember. And when he came, he would travel to Kibbutz Tzedekim, that was one of his practices, as you can imagine. And he lived in Tveria, and he would visit, it's a hot spot for Kibbutz Tzedekim. And on one visit to Tzfas, he asked his assistant to show him to the Kever, the Ariza. And the assistant started to explain that the Beis Knesses of the Ariza had been shut, because anybody who would go in would suddenly die. And again, the Baba Sali refused to concede defeat. He saw everything like that. And he sent his assistant to the home of the city elder, who held the keys and refused to give them to anybody. And the Baba Sali asked for the keys, and he said, "Rabbi, I can't give it to you. Handing over the keys is literally like taking your life." But the assistant pleaded, and he gave in, and he handed the key to the Baba Sali, and he accompanied the Baba Sali to the shul. Thinking that the Baba Sali would die with key in hand, he tied a string to the key, a very, very long string to the key, that if the Baba Sali would die, he would be able to pull out the key. Wouldn't lose the key. Baba Sali, he unlocked the door, and he went in, and he told his assistant to hold on to his robe. And he said, "You have no cause to worry." They walked on the right side of the courtyard until they reached the door of the shul. Even though it was twilight and the sun was setting, as soon as Baba Sali opened the door, the whole place lit up with light. He turned to the Aron Kodesh, took out one of the Sefer Torah, and began to read from it from the Bima. Afterwards, he instructed his assistant to let go of his robe, promising him that no harm would befall him in doing so. They davened mincha there, and then they took leave. When he saw the Baba Sali emerging unharmed, he was surprised, obviously. And then the Baba Sali said, "Tell the Oilam they can come back now." And that's when it started to be in use. You know, many of us have been there. That was because of the Baba Sali's maifis that he was able to turn things around. Tonight is also the Yahrzeit, as the Rav mentioned, Mashal Shudas of Rav David Lulliver. We spoke about him last year. It's a very interesting story involving the Baba Sali and Rav David Lulliver. The Yahrzeit is only just a couple of days apart. When he was living in Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim, so the Baba Sali tried to be very hidden, although that didn't work. And there was a Yid who came to him, who said that he came from an illustrious family, and he was in dire straits. And he had a very expensive shas, a Lemberg edition, which he received from his holy ancestors, and he was willing to sell it to the Baba Sali. He was observing his ways, and he saw his kedusha. He didn't want it just to sell it to anybody. He said he would sell it to the Baba Sali. Baba Sali opened it up. You have to understand about the Baba Sali that he was a Sfaradi, but he was really a chassid. He was mamash a chassid. As we explained last year, this is round two of the stories of the Baba Sali, that the Baal Shem Tov was a visitor by the Baba Sali. In fact, his name, Yisrael, was that of the Baba Sali. I had heard from a person who heard from the mouth of the Gabbai of the Baba Sali that once the Baba Sali was sitting with one other Yid, and the Baba Sali said, "No, time to make mizuman." And he said, "Rebbe, we're only two here." He says, "What are you talking about? The Baal Shem Tov is right here." And he made the mizuman. And he made the mizuman, and the Baal Shem Tov answered. That's what he said. Never left his desk, one of the Sfarim. He always had Sfarim of the Admirim. And we'll get to a certain story of one of the Admirim in a moment. But he opened up this Gemara, and he saw that it said in it, "This belongs to Rav Shimon Nata Biderman, the son of Rav Davidel, the son of Rav Elazar Menachem Mendel, the son of Rav David Lulliver." This was a shas which had been passed down, and he bought it for a hefty price, because he wanted to veil the son of the great-great-grandson of the Tzaddik from his worries. 36 years later, the Rebbe now lived in Yavne, the Baba Sali. And one of the close Talmidim of Moshe Mordechai Lulliver said that he had visited the Baba Sali, this would be Yisrael Abu Chatzera, and he gave him a blessing which immediately borne fruit. And Moshe Lulliver, he said, "Baba Sali, Abu Chatzera, remember meeting such a yid in my youth, and he didn't mention the story about the Gemaras, didn't say anything. And I observed his ways, and this can't be the same Baba Sali. He's still alive. You know the Baba Sali lived 100 years old. He didn't think that he was even still alive. So he said, maybe he's the same one, I don't know. So he traveled back there. And as soon as he sat down, this assistant, the Baba Sali reached into the drawer and he handed him the Gemara. He didn't say anything. He said, hand him the Gemara. And he said to him, this Shas was sold to me by Rav Moshe Biederman. I remember him well. He had a red beard. That's what he said. Remember him well. He had a red beard. So that's when he came. The Lulav Rebbe made a pilgrimage to go visit the Baba Sali. And he said, to come to a tzaddik like this, you have to prepare yourselves. And he made a chanas to come to see him. And he said the following thing. When I was still young, I remember Rav Abuchatzera when he visited Eretz Yisrael. I followed his conduct closely. He said, even though he concealed his actions, I was able to uncover things in the merit of my holy forefathers. He worked on himself, and his service of Hashem was awesome. He undertook fasts. You know that he fasted from Shabbos to Shabbos many times. And Rav David Abuchatzera's grandson said, not like you think that he would fast, like he would stuff himself on Motzei Shabbos, that he would have enough. He says, on Motzei Shabbos, he would have a little bit of a tea and a little bit of bread, and that would last him for the entire week. Somebody who was completely, completely beyond all the constraints of this world. I observed him, his fasts, his afflictions, immersing himself in kol mikvahs and fasting from Shabbos to Shabbos. He would remain awake entire nights studying Hasidic Sfarim and other works. He is truly a servant of Hashem. And then he said, today we do not realize this because he is already an old man. We cannot know how hard he worked in his youth because of his great humility. Had he not worked so hard at serving Hashem in his youth, he would not have achieved the greatness he reached today. And one of his attempts to settle in Eretz Yisrael, so he had a Rebbe in Morocco who he was machni himself to, Rav Moshe Turgeman. He must have been a very great person. And when he called him back to come lead the flock back in Morocco, so he dropped everything and he came back and he traveled, passing by, as he always did, making this travel from Morocco to Eretz Yisrael, by his grandfather's grave in Dimanur. On his way back to Morocco, he was very mekusher to his grandfather, Abi Yaakov. And on one of those trips back to Morocco, there was a huge waves which threatened to sink the ship. And it was Erev Shabbos, and he was preparing himself for Kabbalah Shabbos when he was told that a great storm was coming, and the whole ship would capsize. The Baba Sali serenely picked up from the table the Kiddush cup that he had inherited from his grandfather, the Abi Yaakov. He made Kiddush and then instructed the assistant to pour the remaining wine into the stormy sea. And the moment he did so, the storm ceased and the wild waves became calm. But there were mifsim like this around the clock in his house. Although he fasted from Shabbos to Shabbos, there was a tkufa where he would repeatedly make Sudas Mitzvahs. He would only eat at a Sudas Mitzvah if he were to eat. And he had a book called Hilula de Tzadikaya, where he would mention the names of Tzadikim and the Hilulas and so on. And he would say that by mentioning them in this world, they mention us Latoiva in the next world as well. So on one such occasion, his grandson Rav David, he told over, that he asked the Rabbani to prepare a big feast for the Yahrzeit of Rav Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk. He was the Talmud of the Maggid from Mezrich. He was the author of Bihar, which we spoke about him once, Malava Malka. After preparing, the Baba Sali felt very weak and he had to go rest in his room. And nobody was allowed to enter his room. And although many guests were coming, as they always did, and nobody left his house unfed, they knocked on the door, they were sent away. The Rabbanit said that he wasn't ready to see anybody. At 2 o'clock in the morning, the Baba Sali arose from his bed, he opened the door, and he told the Rabbanit to prepare the table for the Hilula. And she was very confused. Who is coming this late? And why are we preparing for the Hilula? So she asked, and he said, we're doing it anyways. And as soon as she prepared the table, there was a knock on the door. And there was a bunch of Hasidim. They told her that they were on the way back to the south as they were passing through Netivot. And they looked inside the Rav's house, and they saw that there was a light on. And In fact, they didn't even want to come in. They just wanted to just kiss the mezuzah on his door. That's what it says here. Just to kiss the mezuzah. And that's when they knocked. That's when they saw the light was on. And she opened up the door. She was astonished that there were actually guests. And the Baba Sali, of course, knew they were coming with his Ruach HaKodesh. And she prepared the feast. After they sat down to eat, the Baba Sali said, I was too weak to have the Seudas Mitzvah earlier in honor of the Hilula. However, a short while later, Menachem Mendel from Vitebsky appeared to me in a dream. And he said, why are you not having Seudas Mitzvah from my yahrzeit like you do for all the other tzaddikim? I said, I'm so sorry, I wasn't feeling well. So he said, I'll take care of you. You can feel good now, and you go make the Hilula. And everything will be okay. So, you see how chashiv it was to the tzaddikim that he would have these Hilulas in their honor. You know, he would fast all the time, but he had people in mind, and his tzar was the tzar of the Jewish people. He once told the Rav David, he said, my whole life is Klal Yisrael. My whole life is Klal Yisrael. With the Maisa with Entebbe, with the hijacked plane, you know, many, the Geisha passengers were sent away, and they held a very big ransom to release the Jewish passengers. And important rabbis showed up to the Baba Sali's doorstep asking him to intervene on behalf of this matzav, this hostage situation. As soon as they walked in, he said, oh, chavra, come, sit down, have something to eat, you know, make a l'chaim, have some arak. And they were very confused that the Baba Sali was treating them this way, knowing that there was this matzav going on, that he was they were sharing information about the hijacking. And but they listened, and they sat down, and he made l'chaim, and he shmoozed with them, and they spoke in learning, and so on. And he saw on their faces they were very confused. So he said to them the following thing. He says, do you really think that I was waiting for you to come to tell me the news about the hijacking? From the moment that this had taken place 2 days ago, I have had no rest. I've spent the entire time standing in prayer before Hashem to save them. I have not eaten, nor have I slept a wink. So distressed was I over the fate of the hostages. Now that I have good news, after a night of tears, going to pray, I lit candles to elevate the souls of the righteous so that may we awaken heavenly mercy to save the hostages. A great light appeared to me from heaven, and it was revealed to me that the hostages will soon be released. Now that I have been informed that our prayers have been accepted, together we celebrate and we make a l'chaim and we give haidah to Hashem. Before it even happened, he was already making a celebration because it was so clear to him in Hashemayim that he already had a Yeshua. So you think that I was waiting for you to come tell me? This is an amazing story. I don't know why it's in a footnote. Glad I saw it. One of his close confidants of Shlomo Dov Stern said that once from traveling to Yerushalayim to the Baba Sali's home at Tivot, he was involved in a car accident, but he was saved through great miracles. On his release from the hospital, he came to tell the Baba Sali what had happened, and he said that he was still in pain from the incident. Baba Sali said to him, believe me, this hurt me much more than it hurts you. And from then on, whenever the Baba Sali traveled to Yerushalayim, he would stop by that spot and make a bracha sha'asali neis b'makom hazeh. Can you imagine that? He made himself not a bracha for the enem, for the other yid, Rav Shlomo Dov Stern. He made a bracha for himself that Hashem had saved me in this place. Imagine such a thing. Despite all of his chumras and his avodas Hashem, his mesiras nefesh, his taking into account the tzar of others and the sensitivities which he had for people, one of his close confidants told the following story, that after a long and arduous fast in his home on Tisha B'Av in the year 5724, which is, I think, the year of his passing, or shortly afterwards he passed away, maybe 84, he realized, this confidant, that he had come into the home, and this wasn't just a Tisha B'Av. It was after the fast. He came to break his fast. News had just arrived of the passing of his daughter-in-law, the Rabbanit, the wife of Rabbi Meir, the Baba Meir. The sorrow was so intense that nobody thought about breaking the fast. That is with the exception of one person, the Baba Sali. He was in the kitchen preparing a meal for this yid who had come in. Everybody was mourning, and he was mourning over his daughter-in-law. Everybody was in tears and sobbing, but he was preparing a meal for this yid who was sensitive enough to realize it was still fasting and came to break his fast. Finally, he was caught in the kitchen. Somebody realized that the Baba Sali himself was taking care of it, but he refused to leave the kitchen, and he said, it is not every day that I have the opportunity with my own hands to fulfill the mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim. That's what he said. And he was 100 years old. He was 100 years old. And he was still cognizant and mindful of everything which is going on him, despite the tragedy which had affected in his home. Lost his daughter-in-law. You can see he was mamash in the heavens, literally. But yet very much grounded in so much thinking about every single Jew. Told over this story last night at our table. That once one of these sudas, two Talmid Chachamim came, and when a Talmid Chacham would come, he would make a very big suda. And he turned to them and he said, where is Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu, who was at the time a dying in Be'er Sheva? They said, he should come and he should join us in this Hilula. So they went, they sent a messenger, and Rabbi Eliyahu said, tell the Baba Sali, thank you very much, but I'm in Avelis for my mother and I won't be able to attend. So they came back to the Baba Sali and he said, nah, tell him to come. So he said, I can't refuse the Rav, so I'll just come and I'll tell the Rav that I can't stay. So he shows up and the Baba Sali comes and he greets him. He says, oh, Rav Mordechai, you must join us. He says, Rebbe, I can't. And I says, no, you're coming. This is a Suda's Mitzvah. Look, there's Talmid Chachamim here. You don't have to worry. This is not just a regular meal. Join us. So he has no choice. He can't say no to the tzaddik. So he sits and they're talking and they're schmoozing in the Vitar. All of a sudden, I think it was the police that they showed up at the door. And they said, where is Rabbi Eliyahu? Is he here? We're looking for him all over the place. I said, yes, he's right here. He's fine and well. What's the problem? He says, because there was a psak which was issued by the Beis Din recently that the defendant was found guilty, was very upset, and he was making a tirade against the other Dayanim. He went into their houses and he was breaking things and he was looking for them. And right now, he's waiting in the house of Mordechai Eliyahu that when he comes back, he's either going to kill him or he's going to harm him. That's what he said. He said, he's over here. Everything is good. So the Baba Sali said to him, Nu, Rabbi Mordechai, where would you rather be? Here at a mitzvah celebration or suffering in the hands of the violent man? He said, I invited you here in order to save you from that one. He said, so many other stories. Says that when his son Baba Meir, who was a very great tzaddik, we spoke about him last year, 2 years ago, he was very mekusha to his son Baba Meir, and he held him to be like the tzaddik of the generation. You can imagine the kedusha of his son. And his son passed away in his lifetime. And although he had havtachas in dreams that he said that he had from Eliyahu Hanavi and Mashiach himself, that Mashiach would come in his lifetime, he said that with the passing of his son, Rabbi Baba Meir, he didn't know if they would come true anymore. He didn't know if it was come true. And he wailed and he sobbed. And when he heard the news of his passing, it was very sudden, he went to go see him. He had to see him himself. And Rabbi David, who is the son of Rabbi Meir, he said that my father, when my grandfather came and he saw his son, that he was lying there, and he had lost his neshama. So he said, now I surrender. That's what he said. I surrender. And after that, shortly after, he started to speak about his own patira. But he thought his whole life he wouldn't die. He thought that he would greet Mashiach and there would be Tchias Mesim in his lifetime. But with the passing of Baba Meir in his life, he said everything changed afterwards. He was very weak and he never really recovered from that tragedy. He saw that Baba Meir would be something very great for the world and Mashiach would come. But he said, never ever did I hear my grandfather say surrender. Everything in his life he overcame. Whenever there was a challenge, he looked at it, I had to conquer with mysterious nefesh. I would conquer. But with the passing of the Baba Meir, he said, I surrender. He surrendered. And he gave his neshama up to his creator. But you're talking about an ish kadosh mamash, we know a sag of such a tzaddik. We're very fortunate that even in our lifetime, and I never met him, obviously, I was a baby, but just to have lived at the same time as him is certainly a schus.